Building collaborative relationships. Once the organization has analyzed potential partners according to its selection criteria and has chosen those that objectively match its needs, how does it go about building a collaborative relationship? How will it generate a supply chain strategy that can develop and grow trust, manage risks, overcome barriers, communicate, and collaborate effectively? Building these partnerships depends upon the following: auditable information exchange and technology for connectivity. Deterrence-based arrangements such as formal contracts that make adherence to proper behavior a matter of self-interest. Incentive-based arrangements such as aligning sales and management goals to collaborative objectives. Process-based arrangements such as long-term trust building based on regular communications and feedback that spiral out into greater trust over time. Assignment of leaders with the appropriate level of authority to enforce the relationship. Focus on the entire supply chain. Network-wide visibility and measurement of the bullwhip effect to assess the impact of collective management of inventory. Sharing of knowledge, not just data. Clear sharing of both the benefits and the burdens of the relationship. Varied types of commitment, depending upon factors such as length of relationship, feedback, and amount of added value by each potential partner. In order to build the foundation of the collaborative partnership, the partners must initiate management tasks. Overcome barriers to collaboration. Build levels of communication. Note that in addition to these steps, it is important to realize that different partnerships require different levels of collaborative intensity. While this is addressed elsewhere, it is based on the strategic importance versus the supply chain difficulty to obtain the supplied product or service, how much you need them, plus an assessment of how much the partner needs you, strategic fit. This results in a procurement product category strategy that guides the appropriate level of collaboration. Initiate management tasks. Once the collaboration is official, it's critical that top management demonstrate their commitment to the partnership. Since actions speak louder than words, management should publicly model relationship building efforts. The managers of both organizations need to work together from the start, sharing information with external parties and with internal staff, modifying incentives to match collaborative goals, enforcing agreements by departments and staff, stabilizing pricing and ordering, and improving operations. They must develop good working relationships and strive for personal communication to develop mutual trust. They need to develop supportive relationships that foster team spirit between the partner companies. Management can start by jointly discussing and designating relationship goals and planning next steps. This process begins with determining the specific contribution of each party and the criteria for measuring that contribution. Obviously, total profits should be one of the criteria, but there should be non-financial measures too. The criteria should be flexible enough to allow each party to use innovation to meet its goals. In the early stages, relationships should emphasize equity in profits among all parties. Equity will help motivate all parties to work toward the good of the whole. To facilitate collaboration, division managers are often asked to make major changes in how they operate. These division managers throughout the network must be given incentives to place the interests of the whole above their local interests. In addition to altering individual incentives, top management at each organization needs to go over the benefits of collaboration, consistently encourage division managers to make the required changes, and spell out the negative impact of any division managers not being on board with the required changes. Another task is to define roles for each party, taking care to avoid redundant efforts. Conflicts can occur if these roles make one party more dependent on another than they wish to be. To alleviate this common problem, networks should avoid sequential interdependence. This is when the second party cannot begin work until the first party is done. Instead, they should establish reciprocal or mutual interdependence, in which the exchange of tasks and services occurs in both directions. An example of this is CPFR, Collaborative Planning, Forecasting, and Replenishment. Although mutual interdependence is more complex to manage, it can also yield much greater rewards. Since no contract can cover all contingencies, yet another task is to create a policy for resolving conflicts. If a conflict is serious enough to require amending the contract, negotiations should include all affected parties. Many organizations prefer to resolve differences through informal negotiation rather than by revisiting the contract. All parties to the contract should agree upon a plan to govern such negotiations to ensure that they aren't too informal. The plan should call for regular meetings among key managers and cross-enterprise teams, and it should include guidelines for referring problems to the highest level necessary to resolve the conflict. Either the contract should specify how finance and information technology establish rules for transactions, or a policy and procedures guide should do so. Contracts, policies, procedures, and informal conflict resolution must be sensitive to cultural differences. In the United States, courts can resolve conflicts without detriment to long-term relationships among parties to a contract. The opposite is true in most Asian countries. Finally, managers must stay involved. Without management commitment, each party tends to revert to its own self-interests. Weaker parties in the relationship may bear the brunt of problems. Without an effort to maintain equity, the relationships may fall apart. The partnership's benefits and areas needing improvement will be easier to identify, and improvements can be made in a timely manner if the relationship is monitored and cared for. Top management must follow through on its responsibility for adhering to the collaborative arrangements. Overcome barriers to collaboration. Building successful collaborations requires overcoming predictable obstacles, including the following challenges. Suboptimization. Suboptimization refers to a solution to a problem that is best from a narrow point of view, but not from a higher or overall company point of view. When supply chains are not truly connected at the planning level, each partner in the supply chain will work to maximize its own profits or to increase other measures at the expense of the other supply chain partners. When this occurs despite the recommendations of a holistic optimization tool, it is a double loss because the investment in global planning is being wasted. For example, when a product is available in limited amounts, retail orders must be monitored across the supply chain. If each store is allowed to determine its own order quantity, the result might be overstocking of locations that order early and stockouts elsewhere. Transportation costs is another area commonly suboptimized. Individual incentives that conflict with organizational goals. Incentives such as Salesforce bonuses that are structured without consideration for supply chain strategy can often be counterproductive. For example, sales quotas for distributors or manufacturers are often based on monthly or quarterly targets for sales to retailers instead of on those retailers' actual sales. While the distributor doesn't actually control retail sales, this practice can lead to channel stuffing, intentionally selling too much inventory, and is aggravated by promotions intended to increase sales at the end of a period. These practices create a great deal of excess inventory as well as variability in demand that the manufacturer must deal with. Instead, sales goals must be aligned with actual demand. Many companies have stopped giving sales incentives and instead have turned to other metrics that more effectively align sales with company objectives. Working with competitors. Supply chain management books tout the success of collaborations among competitors, but many of these ventures fail. This is partly due to lack of trust and cultural rigidity, but it also reflects the reality that one company is trying to win market share at the expense of the other. Such relationships should be kept at arm's length to ensure fairness, and extra caution must be devoted to sharing information. Companies may pretend to embrace collaboration when they just want access to information for their own benefit. Bottlenecks caused by weak or slow partners. The slowest or least integrated partner in a network will often limit the technological collaboration level of a company, as well as the level of trust that can be built. If the company is not willing to invest in a technical and social change process, the only alternative may be to find a more willing or able partner who can keep up with the network's collaboration curve. Technology barriers. When potential partners have incompatible systems, it increases the difficulty of sharing data, especially when one or more companies use very old legacy or EERP systems that do not adapt well to the newer integration solutions. Incompatible and/or antiquated hardware infrastructures can also prove a barrier to collaboration. Regulations and legal issues. There may be regulatory restrictions on sharing information, trade secrets, or products with partners in some countries. In another example, an organization may have legal rights to use certain assets or services that cannot be easily allocated to others. There may also be requirements to use arbitration in a conflict, and informal methods may be hard to enact. Power-based relationships. Rather than building relationships based upon trust and mutual benefit, the nucleus company may use its leverage to dictate the terms of relationships to the other members. While the profits of the nucleus company increase, other members of the network may suffer losses. When this occurs, the disadvantaged partners may rebel. Resistance may result in redundancy, loss of overall profitability for the supply chain, or an actual reversal of the power relationship with potential for vindictive behavior, underestimated benefits. When collaboration is viewed as another type of process reengineering, The partners generally measure the results in reduced cost and cycle time rather than return on investment, which is a better long-term indicator. Simply measuring efficiency increases will fail to account for some of the true long-term benefits of collaboration. This may lead managers to reject a collaborative venture based on a failure to see gains like removal of duplicated efforts, enhanced innovation, and better use of total system assets and processes. Culture conflicts. Cultures tend to be egocentric and thus tend to resist external collaboration. They feel that their ways are the best ways of doing things and will often reject a different way without even considering it. Culture conflicts are increased when each company relies on its own sources of information and is unable to see the impact of its choices on other areas of the network. When companies don't see the negative results of their actions, they can't learn from their mistakes. Another potential culture conflict can arise when managers delay or prevent collaboration. Such managers generally have safeguarded their positions by not sharing information so that they must be sought for their expertise. Others feel that collaboration is a fad or a bad idea altogether. Still others talk about collaboration but are only interested in receiving the benefits from a partner without reciprocating. Build levels of communication. Communication between partners can take place on different levels. Not all collaborations depend upon the same degree or intensity of communication. We'll consider four levels of communication. Transactional with information sharing. At this level of communication, each partner has access to a single source of data about matters such as workflow, forecasts, and transactions. Contracts are generally medium term. Shared processes and partnership. At this level, partners collaborate in specific processes such as design. They share knowledge across the network. Contracts are longer term. Linked competitive vision and strategic alliance. At this level, supply chain partners function as a virtual entity, working out even the highest level of strategy together. The partners develop considerable trust and achieve social and cultural understanding as well as information sharing. Strategic alliances may last for decades. Mergers and acquisitions, backward and forward integration. Outsourcing current functions isn't the only way to forge links in a supply chain. Mergers or acquisitions may involve two companies in the same tier rather than horizontal supplier-customer partners. Although mergers would seem to provide the deepest level of trust and communication, the sudden clash of the business, regional, and national cultures involved often requires years of work to align attitudes, technology, and business practices.